All right, well, good evening, everyone. So glad to have you at our evening service tonight. Brother John is at a funeral this afternoon, and so he's not here tonight. So I am taking place as the announcements pastor for the moment. So glad to have you here. A couple really important announcements. Next Sunday is our in-gathering Sunday. This will be where we take up an offering for Georgia Baptist Missions. If you're unfamiliar about what all that is, we have prayer guides. We've been showing videos. You can find those videos online. If you have any further questions, you can talk to us. But there's all sorts of things that happen through that giving, especially helping children's homes here in Georgia and just ministering to families who desperately need it. So I highly encourage you to be prepared for that. There will be a special offering next Sunday. Really looking forward to that. Also, there is a sign-up sheet in the lobby, I guess we would call it. I don't think we actually have a name for it. It's where all the hallways converge over there. In that space, there is a sign-up for CPR, first aid, all sort of that thing, training. Our church is offering this training to our church members free of charge. You can get CPR certified. I highly encourage you to attend this. There is no question that the more we can be prepared for incidents and different health issues that may arise, the better we'll be. The quicker we can respond, the more people that can respond. So I highly encourage you to get involved in that. That will take place on October 28th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. If you have any more questions about that, you can go look at the sign-up sheet in the foyer, and or you can come talk to me. I'd be glad to talk to you about it. Tonight, we'll continue our study in Acts. So thankful that you've been attending. Hope you've enjoyed our study through Acts. It's been a pretty thorough one. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But as we continue in worship, right, because we worship through prayer, we worship through singing, we worship through the proclamation of God's word, and we worship through fellowship together. As we continue our worship in song in just a moment, I'd love to worship in prayer right now. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love for us, your mercies that are new every single morning. God, I just pray that tonight as we sing songs of praises to you, as we hear your word, as we pray to you, God, would you not only hear us, but God, would you help us hear you clearly? Lord, I pray that our hearts would be ready for whatever you have for us. I pray that we would be obedient to your call. And God, I just pray that we as a church would flourish, not for ourselves, but for you. Lord, I pray that this church would be a lighthouse in this community. Again, not to raise the banner of First Baptist, but to raise the banner of Jesus to all who need to hear. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I add my welcome to you as well this evening. Stand with me as we sing, "My Life Is in You, Lord."
Is in you, Lord, my strength is Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for I need before we say a word. A good, good Father, it's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Loved by you.
It's who I am. Holy,
God, we thank you for the privilege to be in this place tonight to worship you through song and through the reading of your word. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for how you work in our lives each and every day. God, we need you now. We need you tomorrow. We need you always. God, we pray that you would speak to us tonight through Brandon. God, that you would give us the words that you would have us to hear. Help us to be obedient and live a life that's pleasing in your sight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Before we get started, I want to share a time with you where I made a fool out of myself. And I know you guys are thinking, well, which time? Don't worry. There'll be plenty of stories. You'll have plenty of time to hear all these ways I make a fool out of myself every single day. Well, I was 16 years old and my youth group had the opportunity to go to Centrifuge, which was in Ridgecrest, North Carolina. Beautiful camp, wonderful camp. Don't ask me to pick which camp is my favorite. Can't do it. They're special for different reasons. But at this camp, I was single. And when a young man goes to a camp, he's looking for a girlfriend. That's just the reality of it. If you didn't know it, now you know. And so I was looking for a girlfriend at the time, so there was this lovely young lady sitting on the way the sanctuary was set up was you had to go up steps that were outside, exterior steps on both sides, and then there was a platform in the middle, and on that platform, the outside wall was raised about 2 or 3 feet and almost made like a bench. But on the other side of that wall was a drop down about 10 feet, okay? Don't try to put two and two together yet. You're getting ahead of me. So there's this lovely young lady, not nearly as lovely as my wife, but a lovely young lady sitting there on the little 2 to 3 foot wall. And so I decide that I'm going to do everything I can to be as smooth as melted butter and sit on the wall next to her. And so I keep in mind, this was 13, 14 years and probably 130 pounds ago, and so I run up and I kind of hop up on the wall. And I'm already picturing in my mind, I'm thinking through what I'm going to say, and now I have the approach. So I jump up on the wall like I'm, you know, that Olympic sport where they run and then they jump over the bar. That's exactly how I felt. So I run and jump up on the bench, but here was the problem. I was wearing a little backpack that they had given me. And the backpack had caught on a branch on a tree that was growing out from behind. And so I start talking, And before I know it, I'm being dragged backward. And so, I'm being pulled back. And at this point, I have my hands on, it's concrete. So I have my hands on the concrete trying to hold myself up, but I am just being maneuvered to the ground without even knowing how to control my body. And so I'm being taken back, and before I know it, there are people standing above me going, "Brandon, Brandon, are you okay? Brandon, Brandon, are you okay?" This is actually the story of my very first concussion. "Brandon, Brandon, are you okay?" So I said, "Yeah, what happened?" And here's the scene. If you can imagine this, I'm flat on my back, but the way I had fallen on the wall, my legs are straight up in the air against the concrete. And people are surrounding me going, "Brandon, are you okay?" Including this young lady. "Brandon, are you okay?" And I don't know how she knew my name. I guess my reputation preceded me. And I'm going, "Yeah." I said, "What happened?" And they said, the guys are laughing. And they said, "Well, we actually saw the whole thing. A branch caught your backpack and just pulled you backward. And you were gone." And we were like, and we run around. And there you are in the middle of all this brush and bush and trees. And needless to say, that young lady is Grace. No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. That'd be a cool story. It's not. It's not. God moved me a different direction. She wasn't interested in any concussed guys, and so it just wasn't me. The point of the story is this. I had been taken to a place I never thought I would be. I was going one direction, and God had other plans for me. Also, if I may say this candidly, sometimes we have certain intentions as we're going to do things. Sometimes God knocks us down a level, if need be. Sometimes God will knock some sense into our head, maybe a little too hard, maybe a little brain damage, who knows? Who knows how good of a preacher I would have been had it not been for that concussion? These are all questions I have. The point of tonight's message, we're going to learn more about Saul. And Saul is going to go to these places because God is using Saul as his chosen instrument. And you have to remember that Saul's going to find himself in heaps of trouble because Saul was originally the persecutor. And what we're going to find out is Saul is very quickly going to become the persecuted. And even though he had plans to jump up on this metaphorical wall and talk some smooth talk about Jesus Christ, that was not my intention, that's his. I think what we're going to find out is Saul's actually going to end up in a position he never quite imagined he would find himself in. So here we are, Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. We're going to read through 31. Please, I'd love for you to follow along. We're reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. It will be on the screen as well for you, or the translation in the pew in front of you matches what I will be reading from, so I encourage you to follow along. Acts chapter 9. Beginning in verse 20, we'll read through verse 31, and then we'll go back and dig just a little bit deeper into this passage. Might as well give it a minute. Might as well let it go by. Verse 20. "Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. All who heard him were astounded and said, 'Isn't this the man in Jerusalem who is causing havoc for those who called on this name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priest?' But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plot, so they were watching the gates day and night, intending to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the wall. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, since they did not believe he was a disciple. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had talked to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He conversed and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers found out, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. God, even if just for a few moments, would you help us just hear you loud and clear? God, would you speak through your word? Would you speak through me? We are listening to whatever you have to say, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go back. Here's the scene. Saul had recently converted to being a follower of the way. Right? We said that this is how the early church identified themselves, because Jesus referred to himself as the way. And so those who we would now call Christians referred to themselves as followers of the way. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just how they distinguish themselves. So here's what it says in verse 20. Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were astounded and said, isn't this the man in Jerusalem who is causing havoc for those who called on this name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priest? Here's the scene. Saul's reputation had far preceded him. Saul's name was known. And no, it wasn't known like he had fallen off a wall and they're going, Brandon, are you okay? But it was known in the sense that this guy actually came here to kill us. This guy came here to arrest us. This guy came to persecute us. I don't trust him. And you know, I think we ought to be really honest with ourselves. I don't think I would trust him either. I don't think I would trust a man who was just killing my brothers and sisters in Christ. But here's the complexity of the gospel, right? The complexity of the gospel is that even the worst of us can be used for the glory of God. And thank God for that. So here we are, verse 22. But Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. Wow, that didn't take long. Makes sense though, right? They conspired to kill Jesus. They conspired to kill Saul. They conspired to kill anyone who would preach in the name of Jesus. Now Saul, who was leading groups of men to kill followers of Jesus, is now being pursued by groups of men who are killing followers of Jesus. The irony should not be beyond us, but you're going to see there's a total shift. I mean, this is like, I have a favorite, some TV shows that I like watching, and some of my favorite shows have what we would call a plot twist, right? You're expecting one thing, but then something else happens. Now, here's the thing. This may be my generation, to be honest, but everything has a plot twist nowadays. So you can smell the plot twist coming a mile away. You know exactly what's going to happen. You know, oh, that guy's definitely going to betray that guy, no doubt about it. Oh, she's definitely his daughter. You know, it doesn't surprise us whatsoever. When they really get me is when they double plot twist it, and you think it's going to go this way, and it actually goes as expected, and you go, wow, that's abnormal. So here's the story of Saul. Saul is playing for the other team, so to speak. He is persecuting followers of Christ, and now he is proclaiming Christ. And now his brothers, right? Now, I think here's where we need to really wrestle with this. It's not just other people. It's Jewish people pursuing them. Right, it's their Jewish brothers and sisters who are pursuing them to kill them because they believe they are worshiping a false god. They are following a false god. That's their thought, right? These are people they've probably grown up with, people they've probably cared about. I mean, their families probably know each other. I mean, it's probably kind of like Glenville. They probably all know each other in some form or fashion. You have to be careful what you say to somebody because everyone's related to somebody. And then now they're pursuing them to kill Saul. They conspire to kill him. Verse 24. But Saul learned of their plot, so they were watching the gates day and night, intending to kill him. Verse 25. But his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the wall. Does this remind you of anything? No, it's not me falling off the wall. Y'all are thinking the wrong thing. A Bible story, right? There's a paralytic man who is lowered down through a hole in the wall to be healed by Jesus. There's familiarity with this tactic, so to speak. There's familiarity with lowering someone through a wall. Now, this man wasn't in a basket. But, I mean, they're using means that they've already seen. Here's point number one tonight. But Saul grew stronger. I think there's something we really have to identify in this passage. And it's that for whatever reason, the scriptures take time, God takes time through his word to identify when people grow in their faith. It even happened with Jesus, right? We see in Jesus' teen years that he grew in stature and he grew in wisdom. And I mean, there is recognition and acknowledgement of substantial steps of growth in their faiths. We see with Saul, we see with other disciples, right? What are some key ways we see this? Well, we may see that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It may be said in a way like, but Saul grew stronger in the faith, grew stronger, boldly proclaimed. If I may, for just a moment, one of the most important things we can do as disciple makers. Now, I know this isn't language we use often, but one of the things we can do as disciple makers, which God has called us to be, right? We are disciples of Jesus who are making other disciples of Jesus, right? Follow me as I follow Christ. There's a saying, right, that you walk so closely behind your rabbi that the dust of his shoes will get on you. Right, you are so closely following Jesus and you're so closely following those who follow Jesus. One of the most important things we can do is acknowledge when people have substantial steps of growth in their faith. We tend to do it a lot with children. We tend to say, oh, that's, you know, your first prayer, or you accepted Christ. As people get older, we don't tend to do it though, right? Because it kind of feels silly to be like, I'm so proud of you for, you know, praying instead of being mad at that person. I'm so proud of you for doing this. It almost feels condescending, but may I just say that God did that to his people? That God encouraged his people by reminding them, you are growing in your faith in this way, and that is significant. I think one of the things that we get really mixed up in this life is we're so attention-seeking, craving, desiring people to encourage us, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We all should encourage each other, but we very rarely encourage each other. We like to point out the bad. We hate to point out the good, or we don't feel like we should point out the good, right? I've heard some people say, well, that's what you're supposed to do. Why would I applaud what you're supposed to do? Because it's what we're supposed to do, right? Shouldn't we acknowledge when people do what they're supposed to do? Here's an example. The church I just came from, I was the student pastor there. We had a group of girls who just consistently played on their phones the entire time I was preaching. And if you're playing on your phone right now, I see you. I'm just kidding. They'd play on their phones the whole time, which really didn't bother me because I kind of justified in my mind, like, well, at least they're here, right? It's like at least background noise to them. But then they started playing audio off their phones. And I mean, it just blatantly disrespectful. And so I have a very serious talk with this group of young ladies. And I say, look, I'm not kicking you out. I'm not sending you away. I'm not giving up on you. But you have been awfully disrespectful to me when I've been nothing but respectful to you. Would you please, just for 20 minutes, and that really is how long I preached. I know I don't believe it. For just 20 minutes, would you just focus into what I'm saying? Here's what happened the next Wednesday night as I'm teaching. Four of the five girls still played on their phones, but one did not. One little seventh grade girl did not play on her phone, and she was, I mean, making eye contact with me the whole time. So you know what I did the next time I saw her? I praised her. Hey, thank you so much for listening, for paying attention. I just want you to know how much it means to me that you did what I asked you to do. Y'all, when I tell you that girl lit up, And I know for a fact that from then on out, it was a totally different conversation with her. It wasn't like she was being blatantly disrespectful. You know, if she was being disrespectful, it was unintentional, which is a big difference from intentional disrespect. In our faith, we can get so bogged down and we see people doing what they're supposed to do and we just go, yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. Maybe you see your children doing what they're supposed to do and you go, yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. Maybe you see your parents doing what they're supposed to do and you go, yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. Just take a moment and thank people for doing what they're supposed to do. God took time to acknowledge the growth in people. Maybe we ought to as well. And that's why this is point number one tonight. Saul grew stronger. What's the significance of that? All that really matters is that Saul was being faithful. He was doing what God had called him to do, being his chosen instrument, and God acknowledged it. Let's move on. Verse 26. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, since they did not believe he was a disciple. This is point number two tonight. They did not believe he was a disciple. They did not believe he was a disciple. Do you blame them? I mean, this man is changing his tune. We would call him two-faced. You might call him a hypocrite. You might call him, you know, phony baloney, depending on your age. I don't know. You would say all sorts of things. There's no reason to think that this man is being genuine about what he's doing, except one thing. He is going around proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we hear this and we go, yeah, that's not a big deal. That's what he's supposed to do, right? What's the big deal about him saying Jesus is the Son of God? Do you know that the moment he said Jesus is the Son of God, they could have killed him on the spot? So for him to be obedient to God and say Jesus is the Son of God, I mean, you are putting a target on your back. You are saying, I don't care about my life. I care about sharing the name of Jesus. There's commitment there. I mean, you don't just say that. We don't really know what that's like. We haven't experienced that. We don't say, oh, I trust in Jesus or Jesus is the Son of God, and boom, we're going to be convicted. He was. And that is exactly what happened, right? They're watching day and night for him to move so that they can capture him and kill him because he has betrayed them. And the disciples are afraid of him. The disciples are afraid of him. I mean, can you imagine them sitting around a table breaking bread and drinking grape juice? And they're going, did you invite him? How did he know where we live? Barnabas, what are you doing? They're just doing all these things. And so here's what it says, verse 27. Barnabas, however, pause. We should all strive to be someone like Barnabas. I'll explain that more in a minute. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained to them how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had talked to him and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas is going to be an advocate for Saul. And had Barnabas not done that, So there's a couple things at play here. The first thing is that Barnabas is trustworthy. Barnabas is trusted by the other disciples. And so when Barnabas speaks on Saul's behalf, they listen to him. How do I know they listen to him? Let's look at verse 28. Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. With them. With the disciples. With the apostles. He was with them. They were afraid of him. They didn't want him there. Barnabas speaks on his behalf. And now he is coming and going with them. There's significance there. We all should be Barnabas. We all should be people who, let me just say this bluntly, people who step out of our comfort zone, people who step out of what is natural and be advocates for people. I know there's a lot of stories tonight. I won't take too long sharing this one. 10 years of student ministry, you see a lot of terrible things, just to be blunt. You see a lot of children get abused. You see a lot of children get assaulted. You have children who trust you because you are a communicator of God's word to them and you have cared for them, come to you and tell you things about their parents parents that you love and have ministered to, that will just break your heart. And that will destroy your friendships. There's something really special about being an advocate for someone. Here's what an advocate does. An advocate is someone who speaks up when someone can't quite speak up for themselves. An advocate is someone who will go on behalf of someone else. Now, who is our greatest advocate? It's Jesus. Jesus went to God the Father on our behalf and did exactly what we couldn't. And we ought to follow his example. And Barnabas follows his example. Barnabas goes to the other apostles on behalf of Saul and says, no, I've seen him proclaiming boldly the name of the Lord. We can trust him. I've heard the stories. God moved in his life. We can trust him. The impact as a church, and I don't mean outside of the church, by the way. I mean in the church. The impact as a church we would have if each of us would go out of our way to be advocates for each other, to speak on behalf of each other, and to encourage each other. It would make everyone in this church feel like they belong here. Like we're a family. Some of you do feel like you're a family here. Some of you don't. But if we could be like Barnabas, go out of our way to extend a hand to someone, maybe it's someone we sat next to in a pew for 30 years. What an amazing impact that would have on the kingdom of God. And then we would be able to acknowledge and see the growth in people's faith. Because it takes a lot of faith to advocate for someone else. Because if Saul had let Barnabas down, well, now Barnabas' reputation's tarnished. But people are worth taking that sacrifice for. One thing I learned in student ministry, going back to what I was just talking about a moment ago, if a student was lying to me about what happened, I'd be wrong advocating that lie all day long. I'd rather be wrong defending a liar than be right, not defending a kid who can't defend themselves. Verse 29. He conversed and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. That didn't take long either. The Hellenistic Jews were the Jewish people from a Greek background. That's what the word Hellenistic means. And they tried to kill him when he was talking and debating with them about Jesus. When the brothers found out, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Here's point number three tonight. We're going to read verse 31 together and we'll conclude. Here's point number three tonight. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. There's two key things I want to point out here. If we could put verse 31 up there, please. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened. Big deal. Churches to have peace. That's crazy. Because anytime you put people in a room together, there's going to be problems together. But the church had peace. Why did the church have peace? Because they were focused on one thing and one thing primarily, and that was Jesus Christ. How can we make Jesus Christ more known to the people around us? How can we better follow Jesus Christ? And how can we exemplify what Jesus Christ has shown us? Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Here's what I want to close with tonight. There's a I'll call it wrong perspective, that bigger churches are just full of fluff, and the only reason people to go to them is because they have a lot of money or they have lights or shows. And just because a church is big doesn't mean it's bad. Just because a church is small doesn't mean it's bad. There are churches of four people that are faithful churches that are doing what they can to reach their community. There are churches of 50,000, probably not, 20,000. That are faithful churches who are doing what they can to reach their community. Can we put verse 31 back up there, please? Can I just say the biggest impact on how many people joined the church. This isn't talking about First Baptist Church of Samaria. It's just the church. It's all the believers in Christ. We're adding to the numbers of believers in Christ. Here's what it says. They were living in fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, and that's how they increased the number. Let me just be real candid. We're not going to be a church of gimmicks. We're not going to be a church of flash in the pan experiments to, you know, again, this isn't me downputting them. They had the money to do it. Great. I went to a church one time where they gave away a car to a random visitor one Sunday. Can you guess why I visited that church that Sunday? I was on staff somewhere else. We don't have to do that to grow a number, because we can put, let me say this well, we could put people in the pews, but that doesn't increase the number in the church. How many people attend here on a Sunday or Wednesday? That's not impacting the church. It's leading people to trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That is increasing the church. Now, what we'll find is the more people we lead to Christ, the more people will fill up our pews. So it's a natural progression. The beginning of this message, I shared a story with you about me jumping up on a little wall and falling backward out of control and not really knowing how I was getting where I was going and just ending up there. If we will take the severity of living in fear of the Lord and being encouraged by the Holy Spirit seriously, we're going to end up in a place before we knew it. We're going to end up in a place that is, how do I say this? I'll give this example. One of the things we did in Cedartown, where I came from before I came here, one of the things we did was I had a real big heart for our special needs students, students with special needs. And so what we did was we put people in place who are really gifted at working with students who had special needs. And guess what ended up happening? More students with special needs came to our church because it was a safe place. It was a good place. They were able to feel comfortable and be taught in a way that they could understand. If we will take seriously the mission God has given us, before we know it, we will have more people in our presence to minister to and to share the gospel with than we ever could have imagined. I mean, we're going to be out of control, sliding backwards down a wall. But what a great wall to slide down. If that wall is us being faithful to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, I'll fall down that wall and get a concussion every time. And hopefully after each concussion, I remember exactly what happened. Tonight, as we close, here's what I want to say to you. Our Sunday night crowd, typically full of believers, right? Believers in Jesus Christ, people who already know Jesus Christ. Church, we've got to take seriously living in the fear of the Lord and being encouraged by the Holy Spirit. We got to take seriously proclaiming the name of Jesus to people. Even if people say, and I mean this, even if people say, I know that person. I know what they did. I remember them in high school. I remember them in college. I remember them at church and how they treated me. Even if that's the reputation about you, take the time to turn it around now. Because God can take your tarnished reputation and encourage you and make you new. And he often uses broken, crooked sticks to point straight lines to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word, for your mercies. Lord, I just pray that you would help me first and foremost to be genuine. Lord, I pray that my heart would be honest before you. Lord, it's uncomfortable for me to be this Barnabas, to be this advocate, to acknowledge growth in others and to be honest before you. But God, that's where we need to be. And so God, whatever you have to do to get us there, I pray that you'd get us there. Lord, I pray that our church would be living in fear of the Lord, And I pray that we would be encouraged by your Holy Spirit. And God, whether we increase in numbers in this building doesn't matter to me. What matters is that your kingdom number increases, because that means more people are trusting in you. Lord, we trust in you tonight. And I pray that you would guide us every step of the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with me as we sing, Lord, Be Glorified.
Well, church, thank you again so much for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you again next time. Hopefully, you will join us on Wednesday night for our Wednesday night supper, our ladies' Bible study, our prayer meeting, or if you're a teenager or child, we have Team Kid and Crave. It's such a great time to be here. Encourage you to attend anytime you can gather together with other believers and be encouraged. That's a good thing. Love to close us in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Help us not take this time for granted, Lord. And God, I pray that you would keep all of us safe as we go. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us unified, even as we leave from the presence of each other, that we would be unified in heart under you, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night.